Good evening. Truly, truly humbled by all of this tonight. I've been healed, I guess, by the Lord for 17 years, but when you come to a place where you can speak and just share the goodness of Jesus Christ, I mean, I just get emotional. I don't know what the over and under is on me crying this evening, but I heard it's like over 3, under 5, or whatever. But I want to say thank you to Susan for inviting us here tonight, and the Lord lined it up where the Congletons were in town, and it's just awesome that they got to be able to share with us also. But as you mentioned, I'm the pastor at Calvary Chapel, New Smyrna Beach, over on Canal Street. We've been over there about a year and a half. Before that, we were on staff, me and my wife Tammy were on staff at Crossroads Calvary Chapel up in Ormond for about 10 years or so. And but I was raised Catholic growing up, went to churches on Easter and Sunday, and Easter and Christmas morning sometimes we did the Christmas Eve. But other than that, I went through the classes and all that, and I got confirmed and all that. But I really wasn't a practicing Catholic or anything like that. I grew up outside of Philadelphia, Cherry Hill, New Jersey, right outside of Philly. And when I got into high school, I was a pretty good kid up until about high school, and then in my freshman year, I started indulging in some, I guess you would call it, some herbs or some marijuana, smoking, something like that. I didn't really get into drinking too much until I got into my adult years, like in my 20s or so. But I was getting into smoking some weed and hanging out with the wrong crowds. Like I said, I wasn't brought up really in church, just a few times we would go during the year. But that same summer when I started, you know, getting into drugs for the first time, my parents decided to get a divorce. And that was really the beginning of my downfall for probably the next 20, 25 years. And I'll just give you some freebie tonight. I know the world likes to say, you know, we're going to separate for, you know, irreconcilable differences. And I serve a God that his main reason for us to be on this planet was for him to reconcile us back to him through his son, Jesus Christ. So when you hear the word irreconcilable differences, I say, well, how big is your God? Because God can do anything. God can release us out of the mire. God can release us out of anything that we're trying to hang on to. He just wants us to talk to him. He wants us to reach out to him in every situation. So my parents got divorced, and my dad gave me the opportunity. You can stay up here and enjoy these lovely Philadelphia winters. Your mom's moving to South Florida. And I thought, see you later, Dad. My dad just passed away last year, but it was a no-brainer. I'm going to go down to South Florida and with my mom, and coming from a one-parent household, and I don't want to blame my parents for this, because we're all accountable to God in our own separate way. We all have to face God. We all have to be accountable to God. But when I did move to Florida, you know, trying to fit in and trying to do what everybody down here was doing. And I was getting older. I already had a taste for the weed, and I had a taste, and I wanted to fit in. So my use of drugs escalated. It went from pot to coke to PCP to I did basically every drug imaginable. I never did heroin. I hear that that's kind of big right now, but I never did that. My drug of choice was PCP, and if you've done that, you know where that just sends you. But that's how I spent my high school years in Florida, and then it was just a mess. I got into the construction trade. I was an air conditioned mechanic for about 20 years, but I got into the trade. And you know, construction guys, after work, they get together and they do their thing. And, you know, I just was going through relationship after relationship after relationship after relationship after relationship after relationship. after relationship, and then after relationship. And as I was doing that, the girls that would hang around with me were going from drug to drug to drug to drug. As I was going from relationship to drug to relationship back to different drugs. So there was no chance, there was no hope, there was no way out of the situation I was in, because I was fighting against what I was doing, my addictions. I was fighting against that in my own way. And without Jesus Christ in your heart, without Jesus Christ in your life, you don't have a chance, man. You can't get out of that cycle that over and over and over again with relationships and drugs. And I was doing it all in my strength and in my power. And that's why it just amazes me how I can look back now 17 years later and just go, how did I ever get from there to speaking on a Friday night in New Smyrna about how I used to be? Because when I was like that back then, back in high school, and even back 18 years ago, it's like, I'm never going to break this. I'm never going to get out of this. I'm never going to change. I'm never going to be. I'm never, never, never. And then I met God, just like Paul met God on the road at Damascus. And he goes, why are you battling me, man? I'm the one who can help you. I'm the one who can save you. I'm the one who can make you free once and for all. So it was all in my own strength. And looking back, it's like, how silly is that? So I got even more sillier. I married one of those girls I was in a relationship with, and we hooked up on the right drug at the right time, and we ended up getting married together. Not my wife that's with me tonight. There's not a bus big enough that I would stand in front if that was you right now. I would be throwing myself under the bus. So I married this girl in my early 30s, and we spent the next 2 years, or the only 2 years that we were married, we spent those 2 years having the neighbors call 911 on us. And that's not a very, very good idea. And the amazing thing about that, as I'm going to try to focus this little message here on focusing on what lies ahead and forgetting about the past, and I completely forgot about the court-ordered addiction classes that I had to go to till Wednesday night when we were at church, and before service we were praying, and Rebecca said, you know, about something about court-ordered things. I said, man, I completely forgot that I was court-ordered through, because back then when the police came to your house, I don't know if it's the same way now, but when the police came to your house, one of you was going with them back to jail. It was either you or her. Let's see. She's crying. You're acting like an idiot, being belligerent. We're going to take you. So that's how I got to learn the law from the inside out, actually. But I would go to there, and they would know me after a while, after that happened a few times, and they gave me court-ordered 20 weeks, and I'd have to go to classes, and they weren't Bible-based. It was just, I would go, we called the woman the wizard, because she would talk things that way over my head, and I'd be like, yeah, whatever. And I'd have to pay to go. I'd have to pay $50 every time I went. Every week, I'd have to pay $50 a week to go. So I had to go for 20 weeks at a time. And there was an option that I could get more if I didn't act the way that I should during those 20 weeks. So that was always dangling over my head. It was like, you want 20 more? No. You want 10 more? Because I was at the power of the state if I didn't change. And that's so ironic now, because you have a worldly system trying to get me to change to their system, when I know now that only Jesus Christ could bring the change that I needed. Because anybody can fake it. Anybody can put on a mask. Anybody can do all these things and pass a test. But you can't pass anything past God himself. I mean, it just doesn't happen. So the divorce proceedings were going through all of that. And I tell you, when I went through that, when I was going through those motions, I was lost. I felt hopeless. I felt desperate. I was having in the process of having my house taken away from me. And I found myself here. I was 35-year-old, beaten down guy, you know, by my own doings. I was back at my mom's house at 35 years old because I had nowhere to go. I expelled everything that I had. But the sad thing was I was still a drunk. I was still a drug addict. I was looking to get high. And at any chance I could find, I still wanted to get high. And that was probably the lowest point in my life. And maybe you're at the lowest point in your life right now. And I'll tell you right now, that's perfect, man. Because that's a perfect place for God to just say, you know what? I'm going to rescue you right now, and I'm going to get all the glory. You've been trying your whole life to do it yourself. You're at the lowest point. Give me everything you have right now, and I will get all the glory. During that time, I met my wife right now. I met her. I was an air conditioning mechanic, and she was at her place, and I met her. And long story short, she said she was going to church, and if she would have said she was going to dig a hole 400 feet offshore in a rubber wrap, I said, well, hey, I do that all the time. When do we start? So she said, well, I'm going to church this weekend. Will you come? And I went with her. And what happened was, as we started going to church together and getting Jesus Christ and his truth into my heart, what I did is we were seeing each other 7 days a week for probably 2 months straight. And we're like, this is crazy, man. Let's give each other a night off. So we gave each other a night off. And I'm like, man, this is awesome. So I'll go smoke coke all night long, and I'll go drink all night long. And every Tuesday night, I would go and do whatever I was doing back before I met my future wife. And I was doing that. But the thing is, when you're doing that and you know God, and some of you in here, you may still be struggling, but the struggle's even worse now than before you knew God. Because when you got one foot in, and you got one foot out, it's worse than when you had both foot out. Because God's trying to get a hold of you. God's trying to change your life. God's trying to change you into something brand new. And you're still wanting a little bit of that old thing. And it's even worse than when you were both foot out. I went through that for years and years and years and years. It's like there's a chasm. And we have this beautiful graphic at our church that I'd show up one time. But there's a chasm, or a big hole, and it's between me, and it's between you, and it's between God. And God is on the other side of that chasm. And just think about it. Inside that hole is the drugs and the drinking and the being mean and the being nasty. But the thing is, God sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. And when the blood came down on that cross fell over across that chasm. And he said, you know what? You don't need this stuff in that hole anymore. Come across. Cross this cross to me, and I'm standing on the other side. And it's like, wow, what a revelation, man. You mean I don't have to go into that hole anymore? I don't have to fight these things anymore? I don't have to do any of this in my own power anymore? No. 1 foot in, 1 foot out. One of those Wednesday mornings, I woke up after playing the game, being with my wife. She was going to be my wife. But then I knew she would never be my wife if I was the person that I was. I was a hypocrite. I had 1 foot in and I had 1 foot out. And I woke up one morning and I clearly knew that God wanted me to say something to him. And he wanted me to just say, would you please help me? I'm trying to do this on my own. I'm hearing your word. I have your word in my heart. I have this over here. I said, what do you want me to say, God? And clearly he said, I want you to tell me that it will not be an option in your life to ever drink or do drugs again. Well, what do you mean by that? What do I need to explain? It wasn't audible, but it was clearly something was going to happen to me in my life if I ever did that again. And he made it crystal clear to me. He said, I want you to make it not an option. I don't care what happens in your life. I don't care what happens in your family. I don't care how many jobs you lose. I don't care whatever happens in your life. You're not going to go back to that. Okay. Okay. It was such a simple prayer. I said, Lord, would you help me? You see what I'm doing, obviously. The Lord knows our motivations. He knows our hearts. He knows everything that's going on in our lives. I said, Lord, just simply help me. And instantly, I never drank from that moment. I never did another drug. For 17 years later, cigarettes were a little harder for me. But instantly, he helped me in that area. But I still had a problem. I didn't know he healed me right then. I know he wanted me to tell him it was not an option, but I had to go to my future wife's house, and I had to go to her and say, you know what, I've been a hypocrite for the last 6 months. These Tuesday nights when we've been apart, I've been doing drugs. I've been drinking. I've been a mess. But I went to the Lord this morning, and I asked him to help me, to just help me with what I was doing. I started going to a biblical addiction class where I started to hear God's word, and it started to penetrate into my heart about, you know what, about how much he loved me. I mean, you know how much God loves me? And I would hear that over and over and over again, and I'd be in a room full of people like this, and I'd say, yeah, but you know what I did, God. You know what I said. You know how I treated. You know what happened in the courts. You know what he goes, it doesn't matter. As lost as you were, I love you even more. You're one of my children. I mean, during that time, this scripture was just implanted in me. It's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, who gives me the strength, or who strengthens me. See, it wasn't in my strength anymore. I couldn't do anything apart from Jesus Christ being in my life. I proved it for 35 years. But now with this one verse, I'm like, you know, I know Paul talks about money. Really, the context of the scripture is money or food or whatever. But back then it was like, this is what I need. I can do everything. I can do anything. I can do everything I need to get to the next level, because it's going to be God's strength who gives it to me. I let God completely in that morning. I just let him in completely. And you know what? I meant it. He knows when we don't mean it. You know, he's like, because I used to do, God, would you help me? And he goes, when you say help, what do you mean? Do you want help you to live victoriously? Or do you want to not just get in trouble when you go to see your future wife and tell her what you're a part of? Because which way are we going here? Because you've done the latter 100 times before. God, would you help me not get in trouble for too long in this thing? God, would you help me just so that I can... I used to pray that it was 6 months later in my life. That was my prayer. Lord, I know it's April. Can you just make it September? Because by then this will all be blown over by then. Those are my prayers that I used to have. Crazy. But he began a work in me that morning, and he started to change me from the inside out. No more mask, no more this. You know, so different from how I used to do it myself. I used to do it where, hey, as long as no one knows, or as long as no one can really see, hey, I'll put on a clean shirt, I'll shave, no one will know that I'm messed up. Hey, you know, it's dark in the bars anyway. I'll just go in there and hang out and hide out and do, you know, as long as that is, then it's okay. But God said, hey, you said there was no option, right? I'm going to start changing. I'm going to start working on you from the inside out. I've learned through the years, and I'm, you know what? I'm still learning these things here. But there are some things in our lives, and we have to understand this, whether we're in recovery or whether we're battling or whether we're struggling things. First of all, with God in the mix, nothing is impossible. I mean, my God is so huge, man. I mean, I look back at my past, and it is so humbling that he could take someone as foolish and ridiculous as I was and then took me out of all of that just because I loved him and changed my whole life around. That's all it took, just because you love. That's all it took, man. You believe in my son, I'm going to change you from the inside out. Is that what you want? That's what I want. And that's what he did. But there are some things in our lives that, I'll underline this, only God can accomplish. That only God can accomplish. And here's one of them, John 8:36. Pray this every morning if you're struggling with something. Because Jesus says, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Put that into your prayer life. If Jesus Christ has set you free and released you from your bondage, and you've went to him, as he said, come to me with your burdens. Hey, my way is light. My way is easy. The yoke that I'm carrying is very, very simple. I'll set you free from that. So Jesus says, hey, if I set you free, you're free. Wow. You start, read your Bible, Christian. Get in your word and read your Bible. Look at these promises that are in there. If Jesus set you free, you're free. Stop looking in the rearview mirror and look forward at what God has set out for us. You know what? I've learned this. Only God, through His Son Jesus, only Him alone and through His Son could ever take away the guilt that I had. Listen, my life was a mess, man. And I'm sure some of your past are like, oh, let's not even bring that up. Excuse me. Jesus dying on the cross takes away the guilt, takes away the shame. No condemnation. When you hear that, you're hearing it from the ripper off of days. And He just wants to get into your kitchen and get your eyes off of Jesus Christ. But when Jesus sets you're free indeed. Walk in victory. Get your eyes off of the cracks in the sidewalk and you can walk in victory because Jesus said so. Jesus takes away the guilt. Jesus takes away the shame. What can wipe away my sins? Only the blood of Jesus Christ. What can make me whole again? Only the blood of Jesus Christ. What can take away my guilt, my shame? Only the blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, the Bible tells us, hey, you know what? If you come to me with all that junk, I know it sounds bad. If the world will look at you and go, how did that, it just doesn't make sense. But I tell you what, you that want to believe, I will take that sin. If you come to me and you give me that sin or you give me that burden, I'll put it as far away from the east as to the west. Do you know what that means? That means you could start walking right now towards Tampa and keep walking towards, I'll get to the east sooner or later. No, you won't, because Jesus did it that way. He did it so that you could never get east from west. That's how far away He puts the guilt and the shame and all the silly stuff that we used to be involved in. He also says this, which is even better than that one. Hey, I'll take that sin, I'll take that guilt, I'll take that shame, I'll take that burden, I'll take that addiction, and when you give it to me, guess what? I'm going to throw it on the bottom of the ocean floor to be never brought up before. Now, you can put on diving apparatus and go down and try to find it and indulge yourself in it again, but I think Jesus even does that. I'm going to put it down far enough where humanly possible you can't even go down and get it. But we can open up doors and allow that to come in. But I love that. If God takes our sin and He says that it never be brought up again. When you repent of something or when you give Him something, you know, we'll just forget about that. We'll erase that. And I'm not even going to talk about it anymore. If God can erase that, then so can I. If God can do that, if He doesn't bring it up and call you on it again and ask you about it again and let's talk about this, let's discuss this some more, then I don't have to do that either. And then bringing it up just ruins my day. Like I said when I started, I forgot about the whole court thing for about 12 years, 13 years. I forgot that that even happened in my life. Who did that? God could only do that. When I was at the lowest point in my life and I was praying that it would be 6 months later, I never thought that I would. This is gonna hound me like a dog that just wants to bite me and hang on for dear life. The Apostle Paul tells us this in Philippians 3. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. The Apostle Paul said, hey, I haven't gotten there yet, and I'm speaking to you as a Christian brother right now. I'm nowhere near getting there right yet, but you know what? As the Apostle Paul says, and I'll say the same thing to you right now, the one thing I do is I focus on one thing. You know what I focus on? And if you're in recovery, you know the one thing to focus on in recovery? Forget the past, man. The past is gone. You're here. You're hearing the good news about Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what you did a half an hour before you walked into this facility. You forget the past and look forward to what lies ahead because Christ died on the cross for that, man. If you've turned, we're called, as John the Baptist said, to prove by the way we live that we have turned to God and repented of our sins. But forget about the past. That is the one thing that will bog you down, that will chase you around, that will haunt you for the rest of your life. If you can't forget about the past, forget the past. Look forward to what lies ahead. Look, Paul says, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. Forget about the past. But I love that. Focus, focus, focused not on who we were. If I focused on who I was, think about it. Come on. You don't even get one third of it tonight. If I had a focus on who I was, I don't even know where I would be right now. But focus not on who we were or where we were, but where God in his greatness is going to take us, man. That's what Paul's saying. Focus your energies on what lies ahead. Think about tomorrow. You know, surround yourself. And this is what I did. I surrounded myself with fellow believers. Yes. So just get involved, man. Get involved with fellow believers. Well, I don't have time. You don't have time not to do that. Hey, if you're struggling with something in your life, do whatever it takes to not struggle in that area in your life. Well, I don't have time. You don't understand. No. God first, your wife or your husband second, and then everything else is below that. Well, you don't understand my kids. You don't understand how big God is. God wants to be first in all of our lives. But surround yourself with fellow believers. Get involved in a ministry. Get involved, get involved, get involved, get involved. As time went on, as my heart changed, this is what I did. I served. I would serve. God, you healed me. By your stripes, I am healed. Unbelievable. You dragged me out of the mire. You dragged me out of the muck. You made me brand new. What can I do, God? What can I do to repay you? You don't have to do anything to repay me. But see that person over there? They're in need right now. And he gives you that good eye. Instead of having a good eye or a bad eye, he gives you that good eye as you serve and you see other people's needs. That's how you start to feel better about yourself, when you start caring about other people. That's the biggest goal in life. I mean, Jesus came here not to be served. He came here to serve and give his life up for many. Unbelievable. But so as my heart changed, I would serve. And then you know what I did after that? I served more. And then after serving, I would serve even more. I would never, ever, ever say no to taking the next step. Try that. Now, some things, now there could be some gray, well, what do you mean, never said no? But if people say, hey, I want you to go do this. I want you to share over here. I want you to be a part of here. Hey, can you help me over here? Well, you don't understand. The Phillies are on at 7, and I kind of promise I would never say no into taking the next step with my relationship with God. Never. It was just like, hey, you want to share your testimony? And Susan, well, I haven't never said no. I guess I could start this time. I could start tonight. I've never said no before. And the cool thing about serving God is when he asked me and when he asks you to do something for him, think about it. The God of heaven and earth, the God, the creator of the universe, the one who numbers the stars in the sky. I mean, you can't go to the what. My coolest thing is you sit on the beach and God tells the waves to stop right on the beach. He's like, you know how the he's just like, yeah, you stop right now. You may say, well, wait a minute. The moon does that. My God put that moon up there. Got anything else? But when he asks us to do something, he would always give me and he'll always give you exactly what you need to accomplish the task that he set before you. There is no reason for any of us, no matter how downtrodden or how hurt or how lost you feel, God still has a plan for you. You know how I know that? Because you're sitting in here right now. He has a plan for your life and he wants you to do something to enhance the kingdom of God. Who knows, in 3 weeks or 3 months or 3 years or 13 years, you may be the one standing up here saying, hey, I remember 13 years ago and I was stuck in all this. Wow, that's weird. I just remembered. That's how God works. He takes the foolish thing. The world looks at the foolish person in the world as perfect, because if when I do something through you, I'll get all the glory, because you don't want the glory. You know, you don't want the glory. God gets the glory. He'll give us whatever it takes to accomplish it, so he gets the glories. I mean, for years, I looked around and felt not good enough, or not being able, well, I'm not going to add anything to this situation, man. I'm a draw. I'm an ex. What could I possibly bring? You want me to do what? Listen, that is the greatest lie from the ripper off of our lives, man. He wants you there. He wants you there. The enemy, or let's just call him who he is, the devil or Satan. He wants us to just sit there and feel bad about ourselves and take our eyes off of Jesus Christ. He wants us to keep our eyes focused on yesterday instead of focusing on what lies ahead in the glory of Jesus Christ, so we don't do anything for the kingdom. Nothing. He wants you to keep your eyes off of God. He wants you to rely on yourself until you throw in the towel and you just give up in despair. That's what the enemy wants. Don't give in to the enemy. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ and just say, Lord, show me what you want me to do, man. Show me what you want me to do today. Show me what you want me to do tomorrow. Show me what you want me to do the next day. I'll keep my eyes focused on you. Just a couple more scriptures. The Apostle Paul again in 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10. Now we know, if you know the Word of God, you know Paul went through, I don't know how many shipwrecks, I don't know how many beatings, I don't know how many different things happened. The snake bit him and he's like, what is that? Just get off of me. And he just like shook it off. Hey, you just got bit by a snake, you're going to die. I'm really not going to die because God said, it's not really, years ago he said I'm going to live to old, so I'm not old yet, so I'm not going to die. But that's a story for another day. Anyway, he went through a lot more than I think we could ever all put together gone through. Can we agree at least on that? So this is what he said to the church in Corinth. He said, hey, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. You ever been there? I was there beyond my ability to endure. He was doing it for the name of Jesus. I was doing it for the name of Michelob and everybody else. But look, he says, we were overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. I was there. I'm never going to live through this, man. I'm never going to get to the other side of it. Look at Paul says. In fact, we expected to die. Been there too. I expected I would never get through it. But as a result, and this is key, Christian, right here. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God. There he is. There's the key to your success. There's the key to your being free in Jesus Christ. Stop relying on yourself and rely only on God. And then Paul says this, and I love this. Rely only on God. I'm going to rely only on God who raises the dead. Oh, that's who you're going to rely on? I have nothing that can top that. I want to rely on him also. I'm going to stop relying on myself and I'm going to rely on God because he raises the dead. Thank you. That's a perfect guy to rely on, man. And watch what happens. And he did rescue us from mortal danger. And he says, and he will rescue us again. That's how confident Paul is. He did rescue us, and you know what? He's going to rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. I love that. I'm going to place my confidence in a God who raises the dead. So many people place their confidence in a God who is buried and still in the ground. But as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we can worship a God who raises the dead, and one day we will be victorious and we'll be risen ourselves, whether through the rapture or be going home to him in our natural death. One more scripture. And this was another key one for me when I was battling, when I was going through it. And I was like, oh my gosh, can it just be 6 months from now? I remember going to a birthday party for my buddy's 40th anniversary. And I had been sober for 6 months. And I went up to my friend and he goes, oh, I heard you've been sober for 6 months. And I said, yeah, how long has it been for you? He goes, I'm in my 10th year. And I got so depressed. I was like, 10 years, that just seems like forever from now. 10 years. Paul says this. This means, 2 Corinthians 5, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. That doesn't mean in 10 years you'll become new. When you get to this point in your life, when you've done all these things, you're going to become new. God says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. So if you're battling something, and the second you put it at the feet of the throne of grace at Jesus' feet, you have become a new person. Stop looking in the past. Focus your energies. Stop regurgitating your past and just focus your energies on what lies ahead. You are free indeed. Allow God in and rely only on Him. And you know what? Allow Him and Him alone to finish the good work that He has begun in you. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your patience, God. We thank You for the Holy Spirit that You've put in each and every one of us, God. Guide our steps, direct our steps, illuminate the path You want us to be on, God. Allow us to come to the mercy seat, the throne of grace that You've laid out before us, God, and allow us just to put those things that shouldn't be in our life before You, God. And as we do that, would You replace them with Your goodness, with Your holiness? Will You clothe us with the righteousness of Your Son, Jesus Christ? God, we thank You because we know that every good, every perfect gift comes from above. And how awesome is that, God? Because then we don't have to search for good because You are good. So we say thank You, and all of God's children said amen.
Amen.